I was eating a handful of nuts a day.
Yeah.
And you were, was literally killing myself, yeah, falling over, passing out.
Yeah.
Like, that's not healthy, and I don't want to be that. Mm-hmm. If I want to be a good wife and a good friend and neighbor and mom one day, like, I have to take care of myself. Yeah. And what I was doing was not mm-hmm. healthy.
Words carry a lot of impact on mm-hmm. people's lives, not just in the eating
right
category or in self-image.
Everything.
Everything. Words triggered us from the get-go to get this complication mindset of mm-hmm. all this. And it's hard to break. We were told that our whole lives. Like, oh, y'all were so pretty and the cutest little girls. You have to keep being pretty or you're not going to equate to the way they think mm-hmm. about you. Mm-hmm. I'll just hold her face and be like, you're so awesome. You're so smart. You're so kind.
That's so
like
good.
The inside characteristics that make her beautiful. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Salty Podcast. Today, I'm here with my sister, Sage, who has been on here before.
Hello again, everybody.
She is visiting from Kentucky. We just went to a woman's conference, the IF Gathering. We just were like, let's debrief, talk about it, and we're going to touch on some deep topics today. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to preface and say, in any way, we are not experts in the areas that we're going to be talking about. And trigger warning, we do discuss eating disorder. I know a lot of people struggle with that. And so I just want to preface and say, again, this isn't for educational right. purposes. We're talking about more testimonial based. Yeah, in hopes that people would be able to relate or maybe our stories would help one of you. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's get
How
into
are you
it.
Today?
I'm good. I feel rested. You know, we got back from Dallas on Sunday. So, like, we had Sunday, and then today's Tuesday. So, like, yesterday to kind of just see some family while I'm home. And so I just feel good today. Just feel chill. Like, don't have, like, a whole busy, you know, not a whole lot of, like, to do. So that feels good.
I know. Same. I always feel so, I mean, jet lagged is such a real term mm-hmm. after a trip. And so the trip was supposed to be just me and Sage. It was going to be like a girls' weekend. We got invited by Annie Downs to come be her guest at the IF Gathering. She was a host. And if y'all haven't heard of the IF Gathering, I hadn't heard of it until Annie this year. And it was just, it was such an amazing experience.
I'm surprised that we hadn't heard of it because it was big.
It was the 10th year anniversary of it.
Yeah. It was really good. Got to meet a lot of cool people. Like some the speakers that yeah. were there were amazing. And like the, so like the little sermons that we got to hear was cool. Really, I think for me, the best part was the people that we got to meet just like in line.
Yeah.
And like sit with and kind of hang out with. So it was just like the connections that were made and not just like physical connections. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, now we're friends on Instagram. But like just some of the deeper conversations we got to have with strangers too.
Yeah.
Like sharing our testimony mm-hmm. with people in line.
I know. And that was the first day we got there. It was like a 2-day thing. And we got in line. We were standing outside before the doors open. And we just started talking to these two ladies in front of us. And me and Sage were just kind of in awe and been like, okay, well, we can leave now. I think this is why we were here.
I know, really.
And they just spoke life into us.
It
was an unexpected blessing or yeah. whatever you would want to call it.
Yes.
And so that was cool. I got to meet a lot of my followers, which was really cool. And just the Holy Spirit was definitely moving. I would say I was pretty anxious going into the conference.
Yeah, and I could tell.
Yeah, me and Sage talked about it a little bit. And I don't know if it was like a lack of confidence. It was more that my spirit knew something was coming, like being fed on that. Yeah. And I feel like the enemy was really trying to attack me to not be able to receive the things that the Lord wanted me to receive.
Yeah.
And so I was struggling, like I was fighting through that even during worship. And I couldn't hardly sing the songs because I would get so out of breath. And I'm like, whoo, yes, Jesus, he knows my heart. He knows I'm worshiping internally, but I couldn't get it out.
It can be sometimes overwhelming in like a big conference setting like that, mm-hmm. just because, I mean, there's so many distractions too versus like a more intimate setting.
Yes.
Like I love it because like you can feed off the energy of like the people around mm-hmm. you. Like when I see everybody's hands go up and I see people like in deep worship, like that moves me. Mm-hmm. But also like there's just other distractions too that can pull you out of worship sure. really easily. So it is a lot to like be, I don't know, in the moment, especially because at one point we were on like the front row mm-hmm. and like all the camera guys that were walking yes. around, it's like I saw them pointing a camera at me. So like I was like, maybe I need to worship, maybe I need to lift my hand. So like the cameraman sees me worshiping.
Thanks for the honesty. No, I know. There was really, I was just, I peeked my, I'm like, oh, I'm being videoed right now. And I was like, what do I do? Because then I didn't want to, it's like an internal battle. I'm like, I'm not about to lift my hand, even if I feel led in this moment, because that's going to look like fake. It's
put on.
I know. And so that was new. I haven't been to a conference like that before.
Yeah.
Well, I take that back. I went to one years ago in youth group.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a different feeling, I guess. I wasn't as distracted because I was so young, and it was right. just, I don't know. I feel like now, being the age we are, we're distracted easier.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'm just, I mean, it is in a way production, not in a negative way.
Right.
But a conference like that, there's going to be cameras, there's going to be loud music, there's going right. to be all that.
Well, it's also, this is like a live event. Like it's mm-hmm. being broadcasted in people's homes and stuff. So there are a lot of cameras, and there is a lot of like organization that has to go into it.
Yeah.
Which that's with any event. Like sure. there's got to be organization, or else it's just chaos. Mm-hmm. You have to know like what comes next and what to expect.
Yeah.
But I feel like for you, it's probably even more difficult. And I felt that the whole time. It's because like you are a big influencer, and a lot of the people, it was all girls and women at this conference mostly, and a lot of like young girls. So a lot of your audience was probably there. So people who like see you, like they love you. Why would they not? And they want to see you and like take pictures with you and stuff. And that's so fun. But also mm-hmm. it's like, we were there to like experience Jesus ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, like, I'm sure you felt this, you can say otherwise if not, but like, I feel like part of you was like, I'm wanting to connect with this too, but it's like, I know that I'm being watched by people mm-hmm. around me. So it is hard to like get out of that headspace where you're just like, do you know what yeah. I'm trying to say?
And I think that is what is so cliche or ironic, I would say, about me doing social media.
Right.
Because my whole life, I've always been, I didn't want to be in a crowd.
Right.
I felt like I was being watched, even yeah. though I wasn't. It yeah. was just social anxiety mm-hmm. that I've had to learn to unidentify myself with and not claim right. for myself.
And now you're in the spotlight.
Right. And so now I'm literally being watched. And so I admit it was hard for me. I just kept my eyes closed the majority of the time, I was fighting the enemy the whole entire time, I felt like.
Yeah.
And I think it was a learning thing for me too. Just, I know there's like a reason for it, and I've just had to keep praying and like talking to God. And yeah. like, help me not be distracted. Help me not be, I was really distracted. And yeah. so, I don't know, but in all that, it felt like it was meant to happen, like the way I was battling it.
Yeah.
It's like God really wanted me to lean into him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still like, because that's the thing about the conference or any big thing that you go to as a Christian, a Sunday service or whatever, it's not just the moment and then it's over. It's a continual thing.
Yeah.
And so that's what I feel like I was learning, or I don't know how to word it. It's like the conference wasn't done when I left, because right. it shouldn't be just about a conference.
Yes.
On a weekend, you feel this spiritualness and then you go. And that's what I liked that I was going through, is that it didn't feel like this high for me.
Right.
Like yeah. it has in the past. And so it's like, okay, no, this is life. Like, I'm here to worship God and stuff, but I'm also here to worship him tomorrow exactly. and the next day.
Yeah, that's good.
And so, if that made sense.
No, that makes sense. That's good. Because yeah. I remember going to conferences when I was smaller, and it's like there's so much anticipation leading up to it, and you're there with all of your friends, and there's like the big guest speakers and all the music. And so it's like you are like on like this high, and then that weekend's over and you go back to school and you're like, you know, and you're yeah. like, what's wrong with me? I don't feel like as... So the fact that you like let the conference just be like another day mm-hmm. of you, just like another weekend of just like worship and like normal life. Mm-hmm. And so you can just carry that with you.
Yeah.
I do want to go back and like listen to some of the sermons again.
Yeah.
And like be able to take notes and stuff. Cause we were also sitting like this. So mm-hmm. like, I feel like I couldn't spread out.
Yeah.
And like really take it in mm-hmm. all the way. So I'd love to like in my quiet time, yeah. like be able to watch some of those again.
Yeah. For
sure. Cause they were great. They really were.
They were. And that's what, and I do want to say, it's not that I was just trying to treat it like a normal day. I mm-hmm. wanted to experience the high. I wanted to experience the overpouring of the Holy Spirit in that moment, because whenever I was young, I felt like that happened more often if mm-hmm. I would go to like a youth retreat or whatever mm-hmm. and all the music and all the emotional moments, it's like yeah. you could feel over like a pouring of the Holy Spirit. Right. And so I was craving that, but that was what I was learning, is that that stuff doesn't matter. The big production of things and all that. It is truly, the root of it is your relationship with God. And are you going to carry that into every day?
Yeah.
And all that. And so, I don't know. I'm still, as you can see, I'm still not, it's not like I can sit here and be like, oh my gosh, the conference, you know, this happened, this transformed in that moment. It's almost like I'm still walking through the things he was teaching me in the moment of the conference.
Yeah.
So.
I know there's still a lot, because like we also haven't had time. Like the conference was over. We had all that travel to get back home. And then like you're here with your husband and your kid and you've got work to do. So like I think like as the like next few weeks goes on and we really are actually just able to in our own like quiet time kind of pick it apart and like see what we did learn and what we can apply.
For sure.
Like I'm excited to do that because there was lots of stuff that like I'm like clinging to and I'm just like waiting for some downtime to just actually be able to like sit and reflect.
Yeah.
So
for sure. But it was great.
It was so good.
We met a lot of people. For the opportunity.
I know. I have so many more Instagram friends from like this area and stuff.
Yeah. So I know. Fun. I'm glad you came with me.
I know. Thanks
for letting me be your plus
one. She drove 10 hours here just to fly with me.
Yeah.
Is anybody else like that? Is anybody else like, I am not getting on a plane by myself. This the airport.
Right.
That is.
Well, if I had flown, I haven't flown that much at all anyways, you know, so it's like not that I'm like super comfortable with it at regardless.
Yeah.
But especially like a brand new airport that I've never been to before, like all by myself. And also every time I have gone to the airport, I've been with like a group of people who are like, I guess more of a leader than I am. I don't really consider myself to be like a leader. I'm more like just stand in the background, let someone else take over kind of thing. And then like, I'll help you, you know? So because I'm that kind of person, it's like, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Like back then, like, you know, how do you find your gate? Like, what do you do?
Did I mention in the beginning, like, I think I started to say it was supposed to be just of us weekend,
but I never added. I don't know.
So Hunter and Ivy ended up coming last minute, and which I'm so thankful for, because for me, it was, you know, I was going to be the in charge of, like, I'm like, Sage doesn't really get the airport, so I would have to navigate that, which I'm comfortable with. But it's more of being in Dallas, having to get Ubers. And so with Hunter, I'm just like, oh, yes.
I know. There's so many like videos out there, like TikTok videos of like that same thing. Like, you know, when you're with your husband, it's like you're just like in la la land. You don't have to worry about anything because they kind of take over.
Exactly.
Well, that's how I felt like with y'all.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't have to learn how to navigate it myself because like y'all just do it for me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So now that we've debriefed a little bit about that, let's talk about... Oh, I have a few topics listed that we're going to talk about. So I'm trying to, which one should we talk about first?
Really, me and Devin were like, what should we talk about? Because there's so many things we could talk about. We've lived our whole lives together. And really, I feel like it's so good to talk about like just struggles because there's so many people that have the same struggles, but you might not know it. You might feel so alone in that. But also like your struggles can just be like a good thing. And I think sometimes talking about the struggles that you have, like it just opens you up to feeling like finding freedom and it just feels good to talk about sometimes.
It's
therapeutic.
Yeah, it is.
So that's kind of what I was like, you know, we could talk about this. And that the topic is like eating disorders, like how I, and honestly,
and body image,
until all of those things. Yep. And until like my, like the last few years, I don't think I ever would have even like labeled it as an eating disorder until I'm like now an adult looking back and I was like, oh my gosh, like that's definitely what that was.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's go back to the beginning. Okay. Whenever like mom and dad divorced when we were little, our mom and dad, they are just like complete opposite people. They came from pretty different like walks of life, I think, like family life. And then, so whenever they divorced, there was like split custody, like down the middle. We spent 50% of time with mom, 50% of dad, like went back and forth every 2 days, which ended up like we liked that. We didn't have to spend like too much time away from one parent. But so when we went to dad's house, there was like the pantry was always stocked with just like
junk food,
Debbie cakes and
the
chips
stuff.
And, you know, pizzas you can throw in the oven and Kraft mac and cheese, all the good things, you know?
Yeah.
And then at mom's, I told her actually this other day, I said, you know, mom, that you were like
an ingredient household. Do you know what that is? And she was like, what's that? And I was like, anytime we wanted a snack, like we had to ask you to like cook it. Like they were noodles and spaghetti sauce.
And we made up a lot of recipes a lot.
We really did. Play restaurant. We had to get very creative.
The only snack she always had was popcorn.
There was always popcorn. And at one point I remember when she got on an organic kick, there was always some kind of like organic granola bars. Yes,
and they were good.
They were good. Chocolate chip ones. But we were very limited. Which I understand. She had six kids, so we couldn't just go in there constantly eating snacks. Mm-hmm. Like she couldn't afford to feed us like that. And like, you know, I told her, I said everything was like rationed too. Like also mom was just more like health conscious, I think, than like our dad was. So she just didn't want all that stuff to be readily available. Every now and then, like every other Sunday, we would get like a treat. And after church, she'd go to the grocery store and pick up Fritos, stuff to make hot dogs, and she would get root beer.
I remember the root beer.
Because root beer was like caffeine free.
Smart.
And I looked forward to Sundays because of that. Like it was the Lord's Day.
Did we have hot dogs a lot?
Yeah.
No
But it was also, sometimes it was sandwiches. And, like she would buy all the stuff to put on her sandwiches. And anyways.
No, granted, she kept us fed. So we're not saying
no, it was just an ingredient household. Like as a child, like what you like want, well, we probably wouldn't have known any different either had we not also been at dad's, where there was just like all the junk food
freely given at any moment. Open the cabinet, there's Debbie cakes in there,
yes,
Doritos,
yes,
all that stuff.
But also at dad's house it was just me, Logan, Devin. At mom's house there was
all six of us.
So like, you know, we went through food faster and we, you know, she couldn't be like, okay, you know, you can have this whole bag of chips. Like you got to share with your siblings.
Yeah.
So even milk was like a ration because we only drank water, like juice for breakfast. And then like milk was a delicacy. Like I still will reach for a glass of milk sometimes.
I thank that woman for feeding me milk because some people are like, ew, you drink milk? You like milk? I'm like, I could drink milk for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Like, not just in your cereal or dipping your cookies
like
in it.
If we're eating spaghetti,
glass of milk. Well, but when we were little, it was not a big glass of milk. We actually had, like, the little mouthwash cups. And because we would go through a gallon in 3 days.
I mean, six kids.
Yeah, and even now, whenever I go to like pour Connor a glass of milk, we'll have like a red Solo cup, and I'll fill it up like not even halfway because I'm like, so that's plenty. And he is like, Sage, you don't live at your mom's house anymore. He was like, you can pour me a big old glass of milk.
That's funny.
That is funny. Okay, anyways, so that's just to kind of give you like the backstory. Like, I think that played a lot into it.
It was confusing.
It was confusing because we'd go to dad's and have access to all this food. At mom's, like, it just felt more like limited, or like it was just healthier. Which you think like that's good balance, but really like it didn't feel like it was good balance.
Well, sugar is addicting.
Yes.
And so when you start introducing all of the bad stuff, that's all you want.
Yeah. So at mom's, I was like, I can't wait to get to dad's to do this. And when we were at dad's, like I would just like binge because I knew I was going to go to mom's in 2 days and like not have that stuff. Yeah. And then body image, like I feel like, I don't know. And it's partly the world too, like the world around us. It was the same back then as it is now. You know, models on the magazine covers, like you see that and the world tells you like, what is beauty? And I was like, okay, well, I do not look like that magazine model. So I must not be like beautiful. And I let that like mold, you know, like what I saw was beautiful and what made me like worthy. And that's kind of where I saw my worth. So as I got older, and I realized I could control that. Like in high school, I remember I was like, okay, well, I know I need to like eat less, eat better to make my body look like that. And
I think an important part is your weight loss journey in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
I think contributed to also because you started getting compliments when you lost weight.
That's good. Okay. So I like fourth, fifth grade, I was pretty chunky. I was a chunky little gal. And I didn't really know that until I kind of was picked on. There's several things that actually stick with me still to this day.
I remember some of them. Just name one of them.
I had a little like boyfriend in the fifth grade, and he told everybody that I was pretty in the face, but not in the waist.
That breaks my heart.
And still to this day, that, I mean, I was in the fifth grade. How old are you in the fifth grade? 11, 12?
Younger than that?
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. Young, to be told that. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm a pretty girl, but, like, I'm not enough because I'm heavier. And so, like, And then there was some other things that I got told too. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to work on it. And we stayed with our grandmother a lot during the summer. And I was like, you know what? Before I go to middle school, like, I'm going to get this weight off of me. And so every day I did this Cher dance fitness workout video that my grandmother had, which honestly was so fun.
It was so fun. And that was like a bonding time for
me. It was because we all would do it together. Yeah.
And they were sweat it out.
And there were sometimes I would literally do it back to back, like twice in a row. And it was a 45-minute like workout video. And then I was helped to like count out like calories and stuff. Like I made a sandwich and we got like the low calorie bread and the turkey and like the light mayonnaise.
You would go get salads from McDonald's.
I count out my chips and then I have like a little fruit cup. I remember even at like holidays when I was like super like, okay, I'm sticking to this. I'd see my family like walking around like eating like pie and I would grab for a little fruit cup and I was like telling myself like this tastes just like what they're eating. Like mm-hmm. It's the same. So over that summer I lost a lot of like, I guess it was honestly a lot of baby weight. But I lost a lot of that and I went to school and like my family was like complimenting me, like, you look so great, Sage. And my friends even, you know, I just felt better hanging around them. I wasn't getting as teased as much. I was even being shown like more attention
from guys,
by guys, mm-hmm. even in middle school, you know, like I wasn't being picked on as much.
Yeah.
And so obviously like, I was like, woohoo, like that's great. And then I get into high school and, you know, just high school just opens up a lot of doors. There's a lot more opportunities to like go to the beach and there was pool parties and stuff all the time. And I was just super like self-conscious because I, even after like having got some of that weight off, I mean, I'm getting older, so my body's changing and I just still felt like I wasn't enough. All my like mm-hmm. friends who were like way smaller than me. And a lot of it's genetics too. You know, like my body was never gonna look like theirs, and that's okay. But in my like young mind,
it should have. If you work hard enough, if you want it enough, you will look like that.
Right, and mm-hmm. that's what everything like online and
because that's on the TV. Introduction of social media. Going into high school, Instagram,
yes, Facebook. You know, you kind of have a phone for the first time, and then smartphones were here, and so like that's all I saw, and so I just compared myself to everybody else constantly, mm-hmm. always feeling like I wasn't good enough. And so my senior year of high school is actually when I like was started developing like really unhealthy habits. I knew spring break was coming up and I was like, I'm going to be at the beach with like all of my friends, all of my girlfriends, all these guy friends. And I was like, I want to feel good about myself. It was like a all or nothing. Like I didn't have balance. All I knew was to do is like just be super restrictive. And there were days like at school, and I only went to school through like fifth period. I got out for like co-op, wouldn't eat all day, and then like right before I got out of school, around like lunchtime, I wouldn't even eat lunch at the school. I brought like a little packet of like nuts. I would eat those, drink a lot of water, leave school, go to the gym on the way home, and just run on the treadmill for 20 minutes. If I had enough energy, I would do like the little circuit thing, mm-hmm. and then I would go home and try to make myself not hungry, just chug water, drink black coffee, because mm-hmm. that might make me like not hungry. And I was so weak. I had no energy to really do anything. But it got to where, and this is unhealthy, I'm admitting that, but it got to where like I liked that feeling of my stomach growling. So I was like, oh, you know, and I'd put my hands on my collarbones, on my hip bones, like, and that was giving me like validation, like, well, this is working. Like, I'm going to look like those models mm-hmm. in the magazines and stuff. It was so unhealthy. And all that time, too, it was just messing up my metabolism because I just wasn't eating healthy. I wasn't eating the right things. I was under eating.
And then you would binge probably.
And then, like, you can't keep that up. So mm-hmm. then I would be like, I'm so tired of this. So I would just binge. And I was never, like, bulimic. I didn't do that. And honestly, it's not because I didn't try. There were times that I tried, and I think God just made me that I couldn't, like, make myself do that. So I never did. So then, like, the next day, I would just be like, okay, well, I can't eat anything today because I ate all that bad stuff yesterday. Yeah. And that was just my mind. Mm-hmm. You might remember this. It was during the, like, summertime, and we were at Dad's friend's house by the pool. And we were, like, laying out, y'all in the pool swimming. I was laying out getting a tan. hadn't eaten anything that day. Yeah. And we got up to leave and I sat up and I just felt so dizzy. Mm-hmm. I lost my hearing. My tongue went numb and I started like trying to walk towards the car as we were leaving. And I just remember being like, I could like feel like I was like, it was like my vision was like going black. And I remember like there was a big ringing in my ears. Couldn't feel anything. And I just remember my dad being like, Sage, like he was like, Sage, what's wrong with you? Quit that. He thought I was like, I don't know. And then I don't remember anything else until we got home and he helped me out of the car and he gave me like some chips and an apple. And I sat there like slowly eating it. And like slowly I started like coming back to life. Mm-hmm. But like that was because I was just so weak. I was like so restrictive. And then I think in that moment, I think even dad realized like that I hadn't been eating, you know.
I'm pregnant. I'm just like, I feel like I'm listening, watching a movie right now. But I was like playing in my head. I'm like, that is such a scary moment.
It is.
And like for him as a dad to see his daughter.
Right. And like that's when it clicked, you know, because and I wasn't open about this. I didn't tell mom and dad that I wasn't eating. I probably would like pick at my food and stuff in front of them. Like
it's not something that you brag about or tell.
Right.
It's almost like hush, hush.
Right. Yeah. And in my mind, it wasn't even like I was doing anything bad. I was just doing what I thought everybody did to lose weight. I think dad realized at that point, he was like, you are beautiful. Like you need to feed yourself. And so like it got better. I started eating again, but then like, because I had been restricting so bad, it's like I put weight on really quick. And it has been just like an up and down, up and down. Mm-hmm. And then I was like in college and things were a little bit better. As I said on the last podcast, I was drinking in college. And honestly, when you're out at parties and you're drinking, like you're not thinking about eating food. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like I stayed in like a, what I thought was like a good place because I was just drinking and not eating. So it like balanced out in a way. And then there were times too where like I wouldn't eat all day, especially if I knew there was like a birthday dinner that night. I'm like, well, I'm not going to eat all day because I know that we're going to go out to eat tonight. And like, obviously want to eat that good food. I want everybody else to see me eating cake and stuff. So it just really unhealthy. And I don't remember the exact time that I finally was like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like that, this is not real life. I have to eat. Like I can do it in a healthy way. And it might have been like some good stuff on social media that I found.
Yeah.
Like like health influencers who are like,
coming out.
Right. They're like, you don't actually need to starve yourself to lose weight. You need to eat and you need to eat more than what you think you do to like boost your metabolism. Mm-hmm. So I started leaning into that because I was like, I can eat more food. Like that's what I want to do. So, and I want to do it healthy. And then just as you get older, you just start kind of doing research for yourself. And so I did start kind of getting back on like a healthy path.
It's almost like it becomes, I just want to touch before you like move on to your future years, like back then. Okay. You hear bad compliments and then you get praised for losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get depraised, if that's a word, unpraised for, Sage, you're not eating enough. You need to be eating this. You're getting too skinny.
And that happened a lot too.
Yeah. And then it gets in your head. Cause I remember I've even experienced that and it's like, okay, you want to hear, it's like a compliment to know you look good, that you're so tiny. Like I remember not eating a bun on a hamburger one time, not because that I just didn't want the bun.
Right.
It wasn't because I was thinking about my weight. I was so young. And it was like a family member or somebody and was like, that's why Devin's so small and tiny because she's not eating bread.
And those things go to your head.
Goes in my bread.
Your head.
And I'm like, I remembered that.
Yeah.
So then through year, it's almost like, oh, wait, that sounded like a compliment. So let me stick that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, I was doing the airplane one time. Like, they were lifting me up their legs. Yeah. They're like, Devin's so tiny.
I remember
all that. And all of that becomes, I don't know the science behind it. And I know there's science behind it all.
Yeah.
It just gets embedded in there.
Keeps that. Like you want that.
It was almost like then I didn't realize it, but later in years, I craved that stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, I remember they said I was so tiny. Like, they think Devin's tiny. Devin always needs to be tiny.
Yes.
And all of that. It's sad. It's you see the women that men craved or the women that
people around you,
skinny men. And it just like, you're like, that is what we're supposed to look like.
That's what everybody wants. Yeah. So I need to do that.
And I remember looking up, like, we would always look up diets, Victoria's Secret diet. And it was like one egg, apple cider vinegar or whatever. Like, I'm remembering this stuff.
All of those things. Like, the military diet, the three-day diet, and then, like, the Beyonce diet when it was, like, that big old jug of water with, like, pepper, like, cayenne pepper or something in it and, like, all kind of stuff. And I did all those things. And when I was doing that, you know, our family was watching me do it. But it was also just, like, a fad. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody was doing it. So, it's, like, it wasn't as, like, frowned upon, you know?
It makes me, like, having Ivy... Me and Hunter are so conscious about words.
Yeah.
Because just how words carry a lot of impact on people's lives, not just in the eating category or self-image.
Everything.
And it's like those words triggered us from the get-go to get this complication mindset of all this. And it's hard to break, especially that young.
Yes.
And you become not enough, not worthy, all this. And then, I mean, thank goodness, like, with small group and all that, and people that, I guess, had a better mindset with it all. Yeah. Like, you are beautiful. God made you in His image. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, we're supposed to, we're called to take care of ourselves, but that doesn't mean to, because of the body type you want to have or that is enough or good enough.
It's just to be healthy so we can be productive citizens of society.
Yeah, I remember all of those words. And so with Ivy... Like, also, I remember, like, eat everything on your plate. And I get the stuff of that.
Yeah.
But if I put too much on my plate and they're like, well, you can't leave the table till you eat it all or whatever.
Yeah.
So the scenarios or hearing other people's parents say that because it's wasteful. And I get that. And so we put small portions on our plate because we don't want to waste food.
Exactly.
But also we ask her, we're like, what's your tummy telling you? Are you full? Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like, so say she eats dinner and then wants a snack right after. And yes, we try to have healthy choices and things, but she'll immediately like ask for chocolate or whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, let's give your tummy time to settle. And then if your tummy's telling you it's hungry, then we can get, you know, and I don't know if that, if I'm right, we're learning.
But you're trying.
I'm trying.
And that's, I mean, just, I'm not an expert, but like that seems good. Like that's what I wanted to implement. And I wish that we had had more of that too, because I mean, you're right. You set your plate of food and if you and you're told like can't get up from the table until it's all gone. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm still doing that now as an adult. Yeah. And like, you know, even when I'm full, I finish my food. Mm-hmm. And so like I do. And that's something like you can implement too, is like just portion control.
Yeah.
Like that's so important too.
And like compliments. We try. Yes. Not we to think compliment she is people's the most beautiful weight. Thing. Yes. Wait, but their looks.
Yeah.
I think she's the most beautiful little girl I've ever seen. And so I tell her that all the time. But then sometimes I'll remember before I say it, or then I'll be like, I just said that. Okay, let me, I don't want her to become vain. I don't want it to become a vain thing because we were told that our whole lives. Like, all y'all were so pretty and the cutest little girls.
Right.
And
I tell her she's so smart.
And you feel like you have to keep being pretty or you're not going to equate to the way they think about you. Mm-hmm. I'll tell her, I'm like, I'll just hold her face and be like, you're so awesome. You're so smart. You're so kind.
That's so
like
good.
Like the inside characteristics that make her beautiful.
Right.
And I'm not perfect because sometimes I'm like, you're so pretty because I'm just like, look at her and she's like,
she
beautiful.
Is. I know.
And so I'll, of course, say
there's
that sometimes.
Other things more important than that she needs to hear and know.
Oh, like I've caught myself. I'm like, you're so beautiful. And I'm like, and you know why? And I'm like, the inside of you makes you even more beautiful.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
sweet.
I'm not perfect and I'm not like saying this to brag about myself because I'm still learning and I catch myself saying things. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I need to first of all take a minute and think about how this could have come across or how she's going to remember this one day. And then I'll go back to her minutes later and try to say something else or, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and that's the thing I have to give myself grace. And that's what I don't think our parents meant any harm by any of the thing or family members.
Right.
We just say what we feel and whatever.
Yeah.
But because of what we went through.
Yeah.
Internally.
Now we can learn and like do better.
Yeah. Because they struggled with the same stuff. They struggle with self-image and body image and all that stuff.
You need to be more mindful of like what you're saying when you compliment somebody. Mm-hmm. Because like you were at the beginning of your little spiel, whenever I started losing weight, everybody was giving me praise. And then it became... Sage, are you eating enough? Like, and I was like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Do you want me to be little or not? And also, like, it was just really damaging. I even had friends start to tell me that, like, I looked like the scream.
Like, too skinny and everything.
The scream mask because my face had started sinking in. And, like, you know, the same people who were giving me praise for losing weight and, like, starting to look fit and healthy and good. Healthy. I was not healthy. Yeah. Were the same people who started to be like, you just look so sick. And I was like...
I know.
But then also, like, the same day that someone told me I look sick, somebody would be like, oh, you're so tiny. Or someone comment on my Instagram, go eat a cheeseburger. Remember when everyone used to do that?
To you?
No, to in general.
Oh, and it was compliment.
The biggest compliment if someone commented on your Instagram and said, girl, you need to go eat a cheeseburger.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, that means I'm skinny.
That means I'm skinny.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go eat a cheeseburger because I wanted to keep telling me that. Like, yeah. It's just so damaging. And I know there's so many people out there who have gone through the same thing and who still do.
Yeah.
Because
it's like, I want to feel confident. And I know when I feel confident, does it relate honestly to sometimes the way I look? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's stuff I'm having to work on. And remember, like, I have to keep myself in check a lot. And I think a good practice of that is, you know, like being in the Word and reading what the Lord says about you.
Yep.
And all that, and surrounding yourself, which we're going to get into community, but surrounding yourself with like-minded people, and that can help you say things. Because words can be so harmful, even unintentionally.
Yeah.
I've been that. And, like, even now I can think, I'm like, I used to be like, you're so tiny, or look at your legs, this is skinny.
Well, just the words you say to yourself. Yeah,
to yourself.
Even internally. Like, if you're just thinking all these bad thoughts about yourself, like, it's just, like, self-deprecating, and it's not good.
It is. I do want to say, too, being on social media, when we started, I felt good about myself. And what's crazy is, like, you know how you look back at old pictures and you're like, why was I so hard on myself?
I was about to say that.
I was so beautiful. I was so skinny. I was so, and then, you know, and then you compare yourself to now and you're like, why was I so hard on myself?
Yeah.
Like, I was great.
I wish I was as fat now as I thought I was then.
Exactly.
But also with that, like, look, it can be, for me, it can be so bad to look back at old stuff and compare myself, because what I don't remember when I'm looking at those photos, I was eating a handful of nuts a day.
Yeah.
And I was literally killing myself, falling over, passing out.
Yeah.
Like, that's not healthy, and I don't want to be that. Mm-hmm. If I want to be a good wife and a good friend and neighbor and mom one day, like, I have to take care of myself. Yeah. And what I was doing was not healthy.
At the beginning, so when I started social media, so I was an undiagnosed diabetic, type 1 diabetic. And I was had my own health issues, going on my own health journey that I didn't share about. And I was so small, and whenever I found out I was a type 1 diabetic, I got insulin, and then with the insulin, it makes your metabolism, or you're finally getting the nutrients you need and how your body should be working. And I gained like 10 pounds in a month unintentionally. Like, it's not like I was just eating junk food. It was my body was catching up to where it should be to be healthy. That was so hard for me to witness for myself.
Yeah.
And then, so I already had, you think that stuff about yourself, but then when other people see it and point it out.
And start to say stuff.
And unfortunately, with social media in the day and age it is, people are mean and they just say whatever they want. And so people are like, ooh, look at her. She's starting to get chunky and all that stuff. And those were words I never had heard, because I had always been small whole life.
Tiny. Yeah.
So then it gets in my head and I'm like, they're carrying the weight of me. Wait, literally, are they changing their mind about me because I now don't look like the girl they knew me as or whatever? And it was hard. And I realized that, like, so I would look back at pictures and I'm like, how was I so small and all this? And I had talking to my doctor and all that. And she was like, you were dying. Like, the way I looked, like, my face was sunken in. That's like with being diabetic, like specifically type 1, your body is eating itself. Like, my blood sugar was probably sky high all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I never gained weight because my body was literally eating itself.
It was like fighting to keep you alive.
Like, I remember I was losing weight drastically and I thought it was great. I thought it was because I was a new mom.
And breastfeeding. Yeah.
And like, that helped in the first few months. Like, because you get your baby, you lose weight because you lose your baby.
Yeah.
But it just, I didn't really know what was happening because I didn't know the signs of that. But to me, I was like, well, I'm small. Everybody's was commenting on my face being like super sharp and whatever.
So snatched.
And looking back, I have to remind myself I was so sick. And my doctor told me, she was like, your body was eating itself. You were dying. Yeah. And like, who knows now if I wouldn't have gotten help when I did, like, what would have happened to me?
Right.
And I remember talking to mom about it and she got emotional and she was like, I just hate that I didn't see what was going on, because like, she noticed that I was losing so much weight and just so whatever. And I think as she's grown up, and like, I feel like the way the world is, people are more alert of the words they say.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, it's like we're being educated on the way to talk to people about it and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think she was being mindful of that. It was hard. here, like seeing, and still now, it, like, I'm not going to admit that I'm past that. Like, I still struggle with the way I look and my confidence. I'm pregnant now, so it makes it better. Yeah. But whenever I wasn't pregnant and I was gaining weight, you know, I am thankful now. I know that I have to feed my body, and, but it's like more in a healthy mindset.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard. And social media, if there's any, like, specifically young girls talking, because I'm listening, because that is the stage where I feel like it really twists in your mind, and you want to look a certain way, you want to be a certain way to feel enough. Like, as I know it's so cliche to say, and it's going to be so hard to get the point across, because it's just like, yeah, I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
But like, you are beautiful the way you are. You are made the way you are. Like, you do not have to look a certain way to be skinny or fit in the world's eyes and all this stuff. And just like, my strive is to be healthy.
Yeah.
Whatever that my body looks like, as long as my blood work and everything's good.
Exactly.
And yes, and it's also, you know, in the Bible, it talks about gluttony and stuff. So it's not like, I know not to do that because that was, I binged a lot. And so that was a struggle I had to get past. And so, but it's hard.
It's been hard.
Years in the working.
It's really hard. You know, and now I have Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid disease, which affects my metabolism. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be extremely hard to lose weight. Just eating healthy and working out, it's like, I have to be so, so consistent. And then sometimes I feel like I still, like, don't even see a difference. And I just, like, to be healthier, like, there are some pounds I need to lose. It's not, it's, but it's not anymore about, like, really, I don't know. Like, it's not about, like, looking a certain way. I just want to be healthy. I want to, my body's working how it should work. And, like, just feeling good. Like, because there are times now, like, if I didn't, like, lose another pound, it's really all on how I feel. Because if I just feel good internally, then, like, I'm going to have more confidence. I'm going to be funner to be around. I'm going to be a better wife, better friend, better sister, better everything. So just, like, eating, like, healthy foods, drinking a lot of water, just being active and getting movement in. Like, those are the things that I try to focus on now and not be so restrictive, because life is about balance. You can't be so restrictive forever, because then it's just going to, it's going to make you sick. It's going to hurt your metabolism. It's going to make you fall away from that and then binge. And then it's just a constant back and forth. And that's just so unhealthy for your body. So we're talking about this not because we have it all figured out, because we still struggle. I struggle every day.
I mean, I remember being in the hotel room and getting ready for the conference. And I was like, I don't like the way anything fits on me right now. It looks at me, and I know I'm pregnant, but still, it's such a mental thing. And it
can affect your whole mood.
It does. It really does. And I had to apologize to Sage and Hunter. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I was just, like, in a mood. But and it's sad.
But you're beautiful anyways.
Thanks. And that's what I want. Yeah. It's so tricky, because it's not like I'm like, I don't know. I don't. Yeah. Promote healthy. Not by even the way you look, but it's like,
just health all around.
Okay, so I know that was really deep and heavy, and just you're beautiful.
You're beautiful. And just the way you are, just the way God made you.
Yeah.
And so compliment people. Tell them how, like, beautiful their soul is.
Because that's in
their mind.
We don't take this vessel with us, honey.
No.
Go straight to the dust.
Yeah.
Dust we came, dust we return.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. So, sorry that we have been talking for a while about that. I want to talk about, like, when you moved to Kentucky, let's talk about the importance of community and how that is.
Okay.
So, kind of give a little backstory of you moving off and stuff.
So, you know, I lived in Dothan with Devin, with all of my family, all of our friends, grew up here. So, like, when you grow up somewhere else in the same place for, like, 24, 25 years. And so, like, it's my whole life. We had a great community here. Like, my family is really big, and we've always been, like, really close. And then, like, probably what year was it that we had that bonfire at your house? Because I feel like that's when, like, this friend group kind of came together.
That was, like, a long time ago, a few years ago.
Maybe 2017 or 2018?
I don't remember.
2018, maybe. Okay, maybe. Well, like, a bunch of people that we already, like, knew kind of, like, in our lives for at just different seasons. Like, we all, for some reason, all got together and hung out. And, like, I feel like we haven't been, like, separate from them. We were surrounded by a really good community. Me and my husband got married, and he's from Georgia, so he, like, didn't really know all the people that I knew, but he kind of came in. He found a really good community with, like, the girls' husbands. I feel like it was just really, it was really fun. It was really healthy. We all carry, like, the same, like, morals and values. And that's so important too, because like you become who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. So like you need to make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who like you want to be, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not going to surround myself with people who are like negative and self-deprecating. And like I want to surround people like who I can aspire to like be like. Mm-hmm. But then we got married and he went to, he got accepted into optometry school and we decided to go to Kentucky. So it was really tough because I've only ever been right here with like my home, my people. And then we were going to a place that we've never been before. And so we moved there and, at first it's kind of fun, like the first few weeks, cause we're in like a brand new place. I'm decorating a new home, mm-hmm. you know, like my attention was like just there. But then it's like school starts and, you know, he's in school. So he's busy. He's preoccupied. He's making all these new friends. They have all this stuff in common because they're in school together. They're battling together, mm-hmm. you know. And I started a job. And I feel like that helped a little bit because at least I was around people. But still, like, sometimes you have, like, your work friends, but then you have, like, your real life friends.
Yeah.
You know, like... And like the people I worked with were like not people that I would be like really like real life friends with. So it's still like I'd get home from work and I was just sad, you know. Connor's constantly studying. He's busy. He's still attentive to me, but like it just really changed. You know, our marriage changed. Like it's just the season of life that we're in right now. And it was hard. It really started pulling me into like a dark place. I started becoming really depressed. I'm pretty sure I was texting y'all like every day. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so sad. Like, I miss being home. But I'm also trying to be a supportive wife and like happy for Connor. It was really tough. And I was like, okay, yeah, I have to find something. Like, I've got to find community. Like, I know that. I know that to be happy and healthy, you have to have a happy, healthy community around you. So we started like trying to find a church. We went to several before we ever found one. But even when we found a church, you know, you don't just like meet people. You have to be really intentional to find community. Mm-hmm. Like it's not just going to happen. And I knew that. And I'm not really more so now, but like I was not one to like really just like put myself out there. Mm-hmm. And, but I had to. I was like, if I want to make friends, like I have to. And fortunately, social media, when I moved there, helped because some people would like DM me and they're like, I saw that you just moved to this area. Like I live here. Like we should get coffee or lunch, or like I saw that you go to this church. I go to that church. Like let's sit together. Mm-hmm. So that really, really was helpful.
That's awesome that other people
do
that. That shows the importance of
we
be the friend or the stranger to somebody that you would want to be to you.
Yes. And so, and that's actually where like one of my best friends in Kentucky, like that's how that happened. She actually was like, I think I saw you at church today. She messaged me on Instagram. She was like, I go there too. She was like, we need to like sit together. And so we messaged back and forth, found out like when we were going to be at church. She was actually a door greeter. So like serving your church, mm-hmm. you're going to meet some great friends. And that same day that we met for the first time, we were like, let's get lunch afterwards. And we went to Applebee's. Aww. And we just started getting to know each other. And then we started like leading a small group together. Her husband was really nice and him and Connor got along. So like during Connor's like summer break, we were over at their house all the time, game nights and stuff. But it was so easy to connect with them too, because like we were on the same like page as far as morals and values. We were going to the same church. Like we are all trying to grow in our faith, and it's so easy to connect with people whenever you're like aligned in that way.
Yeah,
you know, because it's like more than just like a superficial friendship. We were getting deep in our game nights, like mm-hmm. talking about all kinds of stuff, you know. And the deeper and more vulnerable you like allow yourself to be with somebody, like just the more they can actually pour into you and love you and like grow mm-hmm. that. Not saying that you should just be vulnerable to everybody. You have to grow some form of trust first.
For sure.
But then I got plugged in at the church and that's helped me, and just, you know, met some other cool people. Yeah. But you really do have to like open yourself up to like find community.
Yeah. Cause that's isolating.
It's like very
going
isolating.
Going somewhere and not having anybody.
Yeah.
And like, cause you could have, I'm proud of you because you could have easily just reverted to, okay, well, you know, I don't have, my friends and family aren't mm-hmm. here. There's nobody really, I don't want that, or
right.
I'm not going to find anyone like that. And so I'm just going to be a homebody, and nothing wrong with being a homebody because you're still a homebody.
I'm still a homebody.
Be a homebody and like, just keep yourself isolated.
Right.
Keep the walls up. And
right.
unfortunately, when we are in that isolated mindset,
mm-hmm.
that is when the enemy, he likes to get us to an isolated point.
Because he can make you feel so sad. Well, and it's like and
he,
terrible.
Right. And you believe the thoughts, you believe the things that he's saying to you and all of that. And I've been there so many times, even when knowing I have the community around me I need.
He can still trick you and manipulate you into thinking like you're an outsider.
Yeah, an outsider and tell you lies and all this stuff. And that is why it's so important to stay in your word, put the armor of God on every day to make sure, like you were, Satan, you cannot tell me a lie today. No, sir, you do not belong in this house. Get out. Right. Over the door. Bye.
And even then, like I have a little bit of a community up there now, but even there's still some days, you know, when I started working from home, you know, all of the other like people that I had met and like had connection with, you know, they still had other jobs. So schedules always didn't like allow us to like go hang out. And so it's still, even in those, like I'm like, oh, I'm so lonely. Like Connor's at school. My friends are at work. Yeah. I'm just here by myself. Like it's sad and it's isolating. And there are some days that I kind of just sulk in that.
Well, sometimes it's comfortable.
Yeah. It's comfortable to just kind of sit in your sadness sometimes. But then there is like, no, sir, I got to pull myself out of this. I turn on some worship music and I like have to like refuse to believe that like I'm lonely and sad. I'm like, I'm so blessed to be here. Like my husband's in like a doctor's school.
Yes.
Like I have a loving husband. I have a great church. I have a huge family at home and friends at home that still are for me. And the friends that I have here, they're working, but like I have to trust that they still are for me.
That's why I love the thing people say for the one negative thing you say about yourself. And this goes to anything, even when we talk about body image and all that. Say it, if you say it, all right, three positive things. And so that's like what you have to do.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
It is exhausting to have to, like, just being honest. That's why I feel like we get comfortable, because it takes energy
to try to find the positive, stuff.
Yes. And that's what, if we get comfortable in our self-pity, that is one of the most dangerous places to be. Mm-hmm. Speaking from experience, that's whenever I started having suicidal thoughts, depressed, like I was believing the lies of the enemy because I was not doing anything to fight it.
Right.
I wasn't putting the armor of God on every day because that took work. I wasn't reading the Bible because and that at that point, my mind was set.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to help me get out of this hole. You know, God doesn't hear me. He sees me sitting here and he's not doing anything about it.
Right.
But the whole time God was there. Come here, baby.
Get on my lap.
Just grab my hand. And I'm like, no.
Like all the resources we need to help us are around us. But we have to just dust our feet off and just get yourself up off the couch. Like there are so many days too. Like, you know, I'll get up and I'll drink my coffee. Connor goes to school. I'm sitting there with Bear. And I've got my Bible right in front of me. And then they're just, but like, it's like I don't open it. It just sits there. And the next thing I know, I'm scrolling on my phone. And then, like, and that just starts my whole day off. Because then next thing you know, I'm in it's been 2 hours and I'm still scrolling. And then I have no motivation. I'm like, I really want to go to the gym, but I don't get up. I just turn on the TV and find something. I need to do laundry. But the days that I'm like, I am going to do this today. Like, I read my Bible, do my devotional, turn on worship music, get up, wash my face, throw a load in the laundry to go ahead and start putting on my clothes. It takes energy. When you're sitting there and you're comfortable in your pajamas and you're like, I don't want to do anything today.
And I'll say that's a bad thing all the time because I love me some chill days.
You need some rest. But whenever, but there are some days you need to get up.
Yeah.
Like if you are like, I know I need to be doing all this stuff, but I just don't want to. I don't feel like it. Like I feel like that's not as healthy as being like, okay, today I'm going to have a lazy day. I need to rest. Like I'm not going to, you know, because there's days when you should rest and be like, because social media in the world, like, just pushes busyness.
It does.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Like, you constantly need to be doing something. You need to be productive. You need to be running errands. Like, you got to be doing something. But there are some days where it's fine if you don't leave your house. If you just rest and, you know, do nothing. There are some days that that's okay.
Yeah, for
sure. And you shouldn't feel guilty about it.
It's a balance.
It's a balance.
Yeah, for sure.
But the days that I do put on the worship music and I'm just like, okay, God, be with me today. You know, I just, those days always end up being so much better. And also another thing is like, I've just gotten more, because like I crave that community. Like I want it for myself. I've been more intentional and like, I've learned to love it. Like at the conference, you know, like whenever we were standing in a line behind those two girls that we ended up having like such a good connection with, I was the one that was like, hey,
like it took you speaking up.
Where are y'all from?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it leads to so much good things.
Like they prayed over us before we left. It was awesome. End of it, and It was just so, I'm getting stretching. My belly is like at the point where it's the round ligament pain's happening. Ooh. I'm like, oh, I got
to
get up soon.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had to go to the tag office and yesterday I did my devotional at your house and I was like, Lord, help me have a good day today. I was like, I don't want to feel stressed about running around. I was like, and then I ended up having to go to the tag office. I was like, the devil is trying me. But I still, because I had prayed that morning, I was very mindful and there was a little lady sitting next to me and I was like, you know, I'm going to make this as pleasant as of an experience as it can be.
I am proud of you if you spoke to her.
I did.
I'm so proud of you.
I said, there's a lot of people in here, isn't there? Because even if you like say something like that to somebody, she just giggled and she was like, there sure is. She said, we picked the wrong day to come here.
And that just like kind of gave you a little giggle. And
And so we kind of just made little comments back and forth, but it just... I don't know. It was
have
better.
To do better about that.
Yeah.
As much as people would be surprised, I am an introvert, extrovert. Yeah. So I can be like, hey, how are you? Oh my gosh. Like I can have a lot of energy. Yeah. And then it's like, as I'm talking, I'm like,
you need to spill that going down.
And then I need to like go reset real quick.
Yeah.
You know? And so
I just think like when you go into like a store or if you're like in line at the checkout or getting coffee through like the drive-thru, when that person does more than just here you go, it's $8,
like, you're smiling, they're like, so
right,
precious
when they're
today.
Like when they open the door, they're like, hey honey, how are you doing today? Like you look great, like what are your plans for the day? Like just though, even those little conversations, like they just make you feel good.
It does.
And so, and it makes me feel good whenever I actually like open up and like talk to somebody. It can just, it's kind of like romanticizing like the little things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like even conversations with people, like it just
that only lasts
was
for
gonna
a
bring
split
you
second.
More joy. It like, I feel like it fills you with like more purpose,
uh-huh.
you know, almost. Cause like our purpose is like be the light.
Yeah.
In
and
a dark
even though
world.
If you're not preaching to them, you...
Right.
You never know how a smile or just a little gesture or you
might help
to that,
somebody.
She could have been having a bad day and then you're just like, there's a lot of people in here, huh?
I know.
But you smiling with it and stuff. Yeah. It
and just makes it better.
Easily, she could have been like, don't talk to me, basically. Yeah. And then you, it would have shut you down.
Right.
And yeah, that's so good. And thinking about like WWJG, like what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, him in his little sandals walking, he was probably like, hey. You're doing a great job.
Right.
Hey, you're doing a good job.
Right.
With whatever.
Right. Know?
That is why we're just supposed to be like Jesus. And we're never going to be. But just to try
to strive
to, be more like him.
Yeah. And it just leaves a good impact on people. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like I get like purpose and like fulfillment and joy out of like just trying to like reach people more than just like what like you might be expected to do.
I love that. And that's what I hope. All you listeners, if you made it to the end of this, you know, feel just the need to just remember that you matter and how you act and the way you receive things, it can matter too, you know, and going back to the eating disorder, the compliments or the negative stuff. Like for me, the negative comments that I get all the time.
Right.
You know, I typically just don't look, but if it pops up, I'm like, okay, I can receive this and take it on myself.
Yep.
And identify with it, or I can see this and me just be like, I need to pray for that person.
Right.
And not in a passive, sassy way. Just be like, something must have happened or is happening in their life to, it's making them feel better to put me down.
Right. But and what they choose to say, like, I don't have to receive it. I don't have to believe it. I can stand firm in like what I know God says about me and what I know is true for myself.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Well, thank you for being on here. This was so
Thanks
fun.
Thanks for having me again.
So next time you come back to the dot, I will, that's Dothan. we'll have to talk some more about everything.
And then
just, But is there anything you want to say to the audience about any of the topics we talked about that's on your heart right now that you just feel led to say?
You're beautiful. Your soul is beautiful. Your mind is beautiful. Regardless of what the scale says or regardless of who's on the magazine cover, just be healthy. Treat your body like a temple because it is for the Holy Spirit and God indwells you and lives inside of you. And then because he lives inside of you, you're supposed to be a reflection of him. And so just think about like how you want to make people feel when you interact with them. Because I always remember how somebody made me feel. I don't even remember what they exactly said to me, but I remember like when I was around that person, like I just felt so safe. I felt so good. I felt so appreciated, so happy, so loved. And make that like your mission is to like make people around you feel loved, for even if you're in the tag office.
So. Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next Monday.
Bye.